Good to be here this morning. Kind of thinking this morning about the Sunday school lesson and kind of where what the basic meaning of this Sunday school lesson and I got to thinking, you know, any of us that's got kids at home or have had kids at home can relate to getting out of bed on Sunday morning and having to go to work, because it's not easy to get these kids out of bed, get them ready for church on Sunday morning. But we do it out of necessity so that we can serve what God has for us. And that's where we're at in this lesson. We're Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And just a little overview, the basic purpose of this, it was the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees decided that Jesus' disciples were doing something that was not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. And of course, they took it straight to Jesus and tried to find fault in him for it. We'll start reading it. Verse 1, it says, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were and hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. I don't know. I do know from reading further on down that these guys were on their way to the tabernacle. They were on their way to worship. I couldn't find anywhere in the previous scripture that gave any indication as to why these guys didn't have breakfast before they left where they was at. I don't know why they was hungry, but for all intents and purposes, it really doesn't matter why they were hungry. I read some commentary that one guy said maybe they were too busy praying and didn't have time to eat breakfast. They were too busy getting ready to go to synagogue or whatever they called it. And they didn't have time to eat breakfast before they got headed that way. Regardless, whatever the reason was, they were hungry, and they began to pluck the grain and eat it. I probably wasted an hour reading one guy's commentary that was all pretty much based on the fact that there was no corn in Israel in these days. Corn was a North American native, and they didn't have corn over there. So it was probably wheat or barley or something like that, and it was just translated as corn. But still yet, that's all irrelevant. It says, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. In those days, it was perfectly legal and fine if a person was walking down the road now on their way somewhere, and they got hungry. They had laws in place that would allow them to step off into somebody's field along the way and take enough to eat. Just get them quick something to eat out of the field and go on. And there was a law that said that was okay. People were supposed to share with the poor and with the travelers, and so these guys to be going through the field and eating the grain on the way through, there was no law against that. These Pharisees saw it, and their immediate thing was they do that which is unlawful to do on the Sabbath day, because they were looking at it as these guys were harvesting grain, threshing it in their hands, all that stuff that was not lawful to do on the Sabbath day, to do the work of threshing the wheat or harvesting the wheat was not, that was too far to go. I told my wife on the way in here this morning, the thought occurred to me, I kind of started chuckling in the car, and she said, "What?" And I said, "Well, I was just thinking about this Sunday school lesson. The Pharisees was, well, they was right there like a hawks. And as soon as they seen them guys eating, they jumped right in there and blamed them. Well, if it was unlawful for these guys to pick a little grain and eat it going through the field, wouldn't it have been unlawful for them Pharisees to be tracking somebody down and spying on them, trying to find fault? I try not to be offensive, but there's a certain denomination, if you want to call it that, a certain religious people in the world today that, in my eyes, just exemplify the Pharisees. Excuse me. There's people that, and I haven't really studied enough to know exactly what the Pharisee hierarchy was or anything like that, but there's people in this world right now that make me think that's what they've set themselves up on as an example of. And to this day, they will still sit back and make the rules the way that it benefits them rather than the way it benefits God's people. These Pharisees back in those days, God gave the commandment to keep the Sabbath holy. And if you go back in Exodus, when the commandments were sent down, it explains exactly what God meant by respect the Sabbath and keep it holy. But the Pharisees, if I'm wrong about this, somebody can correct me, but the Pharisees in those days were not only the leaders of the church, but they were the leaders of the community, almost to the point of being politically in charge. Even when the Romans were in control, they allowed these Pharisees a certain amount of political control over what went on in Jewish society. So these guys were, in my eyes, they set things up to benefit themselves. But they used the commandments and God's statutes as a starting point. And then they went from there and they just smoothed over some of the spots and built up some of the spots and made it about what they could get out of it. I'm sure we probably all know somebody that claims to be a Christian and they twist things up to make them look smart or to make them look holier than thou or however you want to look at it. But in reality, they're not serving God. They're serving themselves. And that's what the Pharisees did. They were serving themselves. When Jesus came along and started doing his teaching, it was like he shined a big spotlight on them Pharisees because it brought to light everything that they did that was wrong. And they couldn't stand it. He was a threat to their power. If we look at America today, just right before the elections, there was a power struggle in America. and one side was shining a light on the dark side of the other, and the other was shining a light on the dark side over here. And man, there was a big power struggle because they didn't want people to know what they were doing behind the scenes, because they were doing things that we wouldn't approve of. Well, the Pharisees in here were the same way. They didn't want Jesus running around doing his teaching because he was shining that light on what they were doing wrong. So they were right there watching him and his disciples all the time, trying to find fault so that they could put it on a poster and put it up in front of the world. Look, he's done something wrong. He broke the law, which he never did. Verse 3 says, "But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did?" The Pharisees was in the position they were in because they knew the law. They had read the Psalms and all the commandments, and they were educated in that. So for him to say, "Have ye not read what David did?" He knew they had read it. He knew that they knew the story. And so therefore he was using that to expound on how wrong they were. But he said, "Have ye not read what David did when he was in hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests." Now, unless I'm mistaken, I believe when David went in and ate the showbread, he'd already been anointed as king of Israel. But he wasn't there yet. Saul was still the king, and David was on the run. But still yet, just to fill in the holes, David went to the temple and the priest had mercy. He said, "The only thing we've got here to eat is the showbread, but since you guys are starving to death, I'm going to give it to you." He had mercy on them. What would Jesus do? People like to use that all the time. He had mercy on us. They come down to death time, and Jesus knew that I needed something more than he did. I needed mercy. And he was right there to give it to me. Verse 5, he says again, "Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" I'd say you could probably ask any preacher in, that we've got in here, if preaching is work, and they'd probably tell you, yeah, it is. But still yet, they get up here on Sunday morning and they preach their hearts out for the honor of God. Not for themselves. They don't get up here and try to make themselves look good. I believe there's a lot of things that we could consider work that the Pharisees would probably say, "You're not allowed to do that on Sunday." But yet we do it to serve God. The work that God gives us is allowable when God says do it. It doesn't matter if it's the Sabbath or if it's the Passover or whatever holy day there might be. If Christmas Day falls on a Sunday and God gives you something to do, the work that God gives you is perfectly legal to do on that day and that at that time. More so than that, it's necessary. When God gives you something to do, it's necessary to do it as he gives it to you. But the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. Now, before I read the next verse, I think the reason he said that was because I was reading a couple different places and said the Pharisees, they had a real big, they built the temple up to be the biggest thing in the religious world. The temple was where God lived. It was the center of God's being, if you want to look at it that way. In reality, now I don't know at this point in time, it may not have been there, but in the beginning of the temple, everything was covered in gold. And the Ark of the Covenant was covered in gold, and it was there. And the menorah was gold, and it was there. I can't even fathom how much Solomon's temple was worth monetarily wise. It blows my mind just to read that description. How much money was involved in the building of that temple? But the Pharisees honored that, not because it was the center of God's will, but because it was the center of their world, their financial freedom. They considered it their riches rather than giving it all to God, because God's the one that gave it. You know, I could go through this life and I feel like I've got a pretty good life. God's given me a lot of stuff that I didn't deserve. And all I can do is thank him for it. But if he took it all away, I would still have to say God has been good to me. Because he saved me when I was 11 years old. And if I don't have anything else in this life, I've got heaven to look forward to. So for these guys to honor the temple the way they did, gave Jesus an opportunity. And he said, but I say unto you that in the... Wipe my eye a little bit. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Jesus is what it's all about. The temple is just a building. I've heard many people say this, we are beyond blessed to have this building we've got right here. I can't remember the block building you older people talk about all the time, but I can remember the brick building over there on Albert Street. That's where I got saved. And it wasn't probably half this size. And I can remember homecomings or special occasions. Sometimes we'd open up the doors and there'd be people lined up standing down both sides of the church, and chairs set in the middle, and people standing out the door in the back trying to hear the preacher. And we didn't have the electronics, we didn't have the speakers, but boy, they'd just pack that house on some special occasions. And that's why we got this place, because God blessed us to have that many people interested in hearing the gospel. God has blessed us beyond what we, any of us, deserve. But he's given us this building to worship in. But if this building got hit by a tornado and we all wanted to just gather out there in what was left of the parking lot, God would still be there. That would be the center of our world, was where God was at. And God's right here. Anywhere I go, I'm taking the temple of God with me, because he lives in me and I in him. And so putting all their faith in that temple over there was wrong. And Jesus told them, I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Because he was more important than the temple. They looked at the temple as the place where God lives. Jesus said, I am God. He's part of the Godhead. He's God in the flesh. So wherever he was greater than the temple.
We had COVID, and we could not meet inside of this building. We met in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. People sat in their cars with speakers, and we had church.
Yeah.
We had church, the same as when we're in here that we have church. So if God's in it, that's where our temple is at.
Amen. Moving on to verse 7, it says, he said, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. And I went back and looked that verse up. Let's see, where was it? In Hosea chapter 6. Verse 5 says, therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forward. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God has always, as far as I can see, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, God has wanted to give man mercy. God has wanted man to give man mercy. When Cain slew Abel, God didn't slay Cain. But he wanted Cain to be merciful to Abel. God didn't approve of Cain's sacrifice, so Cain took it out on his brother. If I don't have my heart in the right place, God's not going to accept my sacrifice. But if I get my heart where it needs to be, he will give me mercy. I've been in places I shouldn't have been in my life. And it would have been easy for God to just take me out and be done with me. Matter of fact, I've probably told this before, but there was a time in my life when sure as I'm standing here, God put his hand on my shoulder and whispered in my ear and told me, if you don't go home, you're going to die out here. And I knew who it was. There was no doubt in my mind who it was and what he meant. If I wasn't going to do his work, he didn't have any use for me to be here. But at the same time, God is all-knowing, and he knew where I would be today, so he was merciful on me then. Even though I didn't do what he had for me to do, he gave me mercy. He's been merciful to me every day of my life. Verse 8 says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And that to me goes right back to what I was saying earlier about working on the Sabbath. If God gives you something to do, it's God's choice that be done when he gives it to you. And if we're serving God the way we should be serving God, the work we do on the Sabbath will please God, rather than be offensive in any way. If we do what God has for us, he'll be pleased with it. Just like the sacrifices that they used to do back in the when the priests did the sacrifices, they had to do twice as many on the Sabbath. That was the way the law was set up. Those sacrifices were not considered breaking the Sabbath law, because they were the work done in the temple, for the commandment. And the Pharisees looked at it, I think they looked at it a lot like that. I think they looked at it as this was work that had to be done for the tabernacle. Rather than looking at it as this is work that needs to be done for God. But if we do what God gives us to do, even though it might be considered a work, it's legal to do on the Sabbath. Anybody got any comments or anything? I had a thing saved on my phone, but it disappeared, and I'm not going to try to look it up again. But if nobody has any comments or anything, I think I'm just going to stop right there. Let's say thank you for your prayers.